Hey everybody, welcome to Nashville Block Party. Block Party. I am actually in Denver now, so we're kind of doing a little reverse from the COVID days with Zoom, except that our guest is in studio and my ass is not. So I am here in Denver. I'm very happy to welcome a good friend, someone I've known for maybe 15 years,
Oh, yeah.
Ward Gunther. Who, and we'll get into this in a lot of detail, but Ward is a man around Nashville, but more than anything, he is the founder of Whiskey Jam and the man behind the magic launching careers all over the city. One of the best events in Nashville, if you're not from Nashville. And Ward, we talk a lot about coming to Nashville, what people should do, where they need to go, just all things Nashville. And ironically, this is episode number 7, and you are the first music related guest.
Oh, wow.
It's kind of ironic,
Look at how we've
but I think,
changed. Crazy.
right. And that's the truth is, Nashville is more than just Music City, but Music City really is kind of at the heart of it. And the music industry is kind of how like all of us in a way know each other. You'll do a better job than I do, but let's just start with talking about Whiskey Jam. Can you explain to people what it is? And I also want you to see I wore just for you. I know it's not winners,
Yeah,
but
you feel like you're at home.
I'm wearing a loser's t-shirt, supporting division. But yeah, go ahead, tell everybody what it is.
So for people that aren't familiar with the Nashville music scene, there's a lot of writers' nights. I'm sure that's exist in other cities and stuff, but in Nashville is such a big deal. When I got to town in 2003, there were writers' nights everywhere all the time. And by the time Whiskey Jam came around, I had been there about 8 years and I was just completely wiped on writers' nights. And my buddy Josh Hogue and I started this night as kind of a in response to the more subdued, boring, if you will, writers' nights, where people were sitting up on stools and everybody's watching, waiting quietly, and it was just not exciting. So we're like, let's get our friends together and play some music. And it was just an immediate reaction, great response to it, because people didn't have that dynamic didn't exist in the writer's world. And so we quickly evolved it into involving our musical friends that had record deals, that had publishing deals, that had hits, that had a public figure. And I mean, within the first couple of weeks, you had major artists on stage from Lady A, Chris Young, David Nail, Ethan Corbin, the guys back then, Brett Eldredge, Kip Moore, that were getting their start, that also were all over this concept. Like, okay, a cool, fun, no frills, no pretense, alternative to the writer's night. And so we've developed that over the past decade, and the response is still the same. There's a lot of all kind of varied events, and there's a lot that are like us at this point in time. But overall, it just has been a nice addition to the scene. This you can listen to music, you can pay attention, you can enjoy the craft, but you can also party at the same time.
And it's, is it still Monday nights?
We do Mondays and Thursdays, and occasionally little outlier events.
And so it's, and it's at Winners.
Yes.
And I mean, and I haven't been in town as much recently, but I've seen like you guys are blowing up the parking lot. You're expanding. It's not just inside anymore. It's,
We'll
I
do
mean, you
the
guys are doing big things.
outdoor shows. We had our last one before COVID was October 2019, and so we had 20 months between these outdoor shows, and I really think it was just a slingshot effect, man. Every day that went by that there wasn't one, people were freaking out. So when we opened the gates, it was just like boom, and we had the biggest night in Losers history, that first outdoor show we did back. And so that kind of goes to show where the climate is here, where how people are ready to party, to get back to that. And I don't know, we're just kind of testing the waters this year. It takes a lot production wise and talent wise to fill up that space and to validate, or what's the word I'm looking for, to make it worth your while putting that production up. And I don't know, we're just testing different things. We saw last week, or this week, shoot, with an event, didn't have any big radio hit having artist, and the place was packed. It was like, okay, we can rely a little bit on on Whiskey Jam now to fill this place up.
So, and then And you guys have taken it on the road too. You've gone up to Chicago. What are some of the cool places you've gone, and what artists have you brought, and all that stuff?
We've been up to Chicago several times. We used to play up there every month or so at Joe's Bar. We've done one on a little cruise ship around the lake. We've done some private events up there. Chicago's a great city. Windy City Smokeout is a giant country music festival, and so there's a huge audience up there for country music, and there's eight times as many people in Chicago in general as there are in Nashville. So you think, man, you can tap into a fraction of that audience, and you'll have as many people coming out as you do in Nashville. So it's been fun, man. Those little homes away from home. We did Memphis a few times, Knoxville a few times, Georgia. We are going out to California for the first time sometime soon. There's some events going on out there. A country is in a different place in LA than it was the last time I was at a country bar in LA, probably 20 years ago, a place called King King. It was country night. It was on Sundays, and it was like real kind of indie country, what you call indie or alt country now. That was what it was. And so this whole, there's been a renaissance, or almost like a fascination between Stagecoach and Lil Nas X, and like this Western kind of novelty. The Western novelty is carried over into country music, so people are no longer ostracized for listening to Carrie Underwood, and there's a place for them to listen to, and they can kind of kitsch it up, and the girls will wear cowboy hats and little chaps and stuff, and you can, you know, Saddle Ranch it up. But it's
I love some Saddle Ranch, and it is funny when you go places like LA and you do the country music thing, they all dress like some stereotypical way they think people in Nashville dress. Yes. Yet nobody in Nashville dresses like that.
Exactly. It's like
the bachelorette parties, like with the boots and the skirts and the pink hats.
Exactly.
If nobody wears those clothes, nobody that lives in Nashville will be caught dead in your costume that you're wearing. It's been bad all week.
Yeah. It's almost insulting, but not, because it is kind of like, well, at least they're embracing it. They want to play the part, you know, right. It'd be like me trying to act like a cowboy in Texas or something. I'd look like Pee Wee Herman.
Right. And the thing is, it is honestly insulting. However, they're coming to spend their money in our city, which helps all our businesses.
Dude.
So my philosophy is insult us all you want, spend your money, and then go home.
It is wild. It's just blowing up. We were, I was having lunch downtown today, and it was remarkable. I was having lunch with some guy. A guy used to work at CAA that we worked together at Apple now. And we were both like, what is this? Where is this? How did this happen? It was like you were in an airport. There was so many people on a rainy Thursday afternoon. Wildness.
Yeah. And every time I drive anywhere around downtown, I mean, I'm shocked. Like, it's literally like a different city. I mean, that whole SoBro area that has like 50 new hotels. Mm-hmm. And then, which never existed before.
Yeah.
And then like all the, like the W going in, but then even like the complex, like Fifth and Broadway, and all these new little restaurants. Like I remember back in the day when you'd go to Broadway and it was like the Stage, Tootsies and Legends, and that was it.
Yeah.
And literally the only place you could get food was Rippy's and
Jack's Barbecue.
Jack's. And what's the one? Oh my God, I'm blanking. You know it. The one where they make the burgers right there.
Paradise Park.
No, not Paradise Park.
Oh, Roberts.
Roberts Western Room. Yes. And, I mean, that was, I love you, Roberts. Your food is interesting. But now it's like there's actual, like you could sit down and have like a bougie dinner.
Oh, yeah. It used to be like, don't get hungry downtown. You don't want to eat a bag of chips at the Stage, or they'll microwave you up a pizza. Yeah.
It was, I mean, literally, like you just would not be able to eat. Like if you went day drinking and just stayed out all night, there was no food.
And it's wild now. We book the entertainment at Taco Bell Cantina on 2nd Avenue.
Which, by the way, for anyone out there, there is a Taco Bell on 2nd Avenue with live music that's cooler than any club in Indianapolis.
It's crazy. It's the first. There's a lot of the cantinas. It's a Taco Bell where you can get fancy drinks and alcohol, and it's just a nicer Taco Bell atmosphere, or less fast foody, I guess. But this is the first one with a stage, and so they didn't know what to expect. And it's funny, the restaurant group that came in has 60 Taco Bells, and they were like, this is so foreign to us. And we're like, listen, we've been booking music downtown for years. Just trust us. Give it 3 weeks or a month. And it wasn't 2 weeks into it. They were like looking to buy the places next door, and they couldn't believe it was the best performing of all their 60 restaurants. It's like, it's insane. like the.
Okay, so real important question. What is your Taco Bell order?
Chicken quesadilla, extra chicken, extra sauce, and then probably a Doritos Loco Taco or something like that.
Ooh, yeah, I like that. I'm a very simple guy. I'm just soft tacos.
Really?
Pretty soft taco. Love it.
It is. You run into, if you're like me and you eat Taco Bell anywhere you go, some places don't have certain items. So you can't get too attached to like a Crunchwrap Supreme or the one that they fold over because they don't have those things in some places that we might visit.
That's why it's nice to be simple like me. always get a soft taco. I'm the guy who eats pizza with no toppings, so it's the same everywhere also.
Easy to please.
But so you were talking earlier back to the whole Whiskey Jam thing. So I know you mentioned like David Nail, Brett, like all these guys that, you know, would play and, you know, they were up and coming, but they were already a little bit established. And I know you've had some really big names. I believe like Miranda Lambert came and played one night, and this was well after she was famous.
Mm-hmm.
Are there some people that you could tell us about without giving the real dirt on them? But, you know, that really were doing Whiskey Jam when nobody knew who they were, and now everyone knows who they are.
For sure. Like what you're saying, when we were getting established, as we were laying the foundation, we took that star power of bands like, I mean, One Republic and Chris Stapleton. Well, I don't know. When Chris Stapleton played, nobody knew who he was. Thomas Rhett played when he was 20 years old. Like, nobody knew who these guys were. We didn't really have much of a play in their careers, or we didn't play much of a role, but some of them have, like you're talking about, Luke Combs overheard me give my email address out at Tin Roof when I was bartending one night, and he emails me the next day. He's still living in North Carolina, and he said, "Hey man, I talked to you at the bar last night. Love to play a show. I've been selling CDs up in North Carolina, you know." And next thing you know, we get him in 6 or 7 times, and that thing was just gone off to the races. But at the beginning, he's up there singing Beer Can and Hurricane before anybody had ever heard him, and you get to watch it go from total new guy obscurity to this next level thing. Kacey Musgraves played back in 2012, and she wasn't in the Same Trailer Different Park era yet, hadn't gotten that kind of dime store cowgirl persona, and light years before the golden hour. But it's funny to see them, like these artists. It's a great room. I was talking to somebody about this recently. It's a great place to mess up. You can totally screw up there. Blame it on us. Blame it on the sound system. But you don't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be. There's, like I was saying, there's no pretense. There's not the level of the Bluebird, the pressure of that. You know, this might be your one shot. There's no Opry to it at all. You know, it's you might get a little bit of nerves, but it's just a loose, fun place to learn your audience, learn what they like, learn who you are as an artist. We've seen, I wouldn't say countless, but a lot of those recently. Morgan Wallen was a big one, came through. It was like he was dressing up for Halloween as Ric Flair. Nobody knew who the guy was. And the next thing you know, he's recording Whiskey Glasses video at Winners at one of our shows. And then to now, it's crazy to see how fast things happen for these artists. And shoot, man, like that's some of the ones that have come through in 2020 have been the most incredible to see. Priscilla Block has blown up onto the scene as a young artist. No relation, I don't think, to you.
I don't know about.
Priscilla blew up on TikTok and has got.
Can we get Priscilla on Nashville Block Party? And I'll be like, Nashville Block Party?
You would absolutely love her. She's a huge talent and personality. But anyway.
I love her just for her last name alone. Yeah. I kind of like her. I wonder if she was named after like Priscilla Presley.
I don't know. Could be. But somebody like that, they play Whiskey Jam several handful of times. And then in the 2020, whatever, the strangeness of it, got up on TikTok. And now, I don't know, it just continues to grow. These artists, as the scene changes, we just try to keep on being a place for them to play. And it's worked out so far.
Well, Priscilla, call me. The other thing I will say, you mentioned is, and I'll say this to the people that have not been, because the people that have been to Whiskey Jam know this is the case. One of the things you said is it's fun. It really is. Like every time you go, it's not like going to a typical writer's round where people kind of sit around and someone plays with the guitar and it's like, This is more like you're going to a party and you're going to get some of the best live music you've never heard, or you may have heard, or it might be your first time hearing. And especially, I thought what was so genius about what you guys did was, I remember when you guys started it, and you did on a Monday night, because nobody really had Monday nights. You know, obviously everybody, Friday and Saturday nights are packed. Thursday nights are a big college night. Kind of Tuesdays are, you know, were always a decent like bandy night in town. Mm-hmm. And Mondays and Wednesdays were kind of, you know, left out. And deciding to do something on a Monday and doing it at a venue like Winners was a great place to start, because it's not the hugest space, but it's intimate and it's fun and it feels like home. So you were able to kind of develop like, this is the thing to do Monday nights. Mm-hmm. And it spiraled from there. And then having like the first class talent. And the other thing I'll say to kind of brag on it a bit also is, you know, we're spoiled in Nashville. There's good music everywhere. And even the places that we kind of maybe roll our eyes at or don't think are good music are still probably better music than most people can see live. I mean, hell, Tootsie's at the damn airport has probably as good a talent as American Idol. Let's be honest here. But with what you do is, I always tell people, like when I give my Nashville recommendations, if they're going to be there during the week or if they're going to be there on business, you got to go check out Whiskey Jam, because you're going to be there. And then 2 years later, there's a very good chance that one of the acts you saw, you're going to hear on the radio.
Yeah.
And you're going to, you know, it's going to jog your brain when you're back in Omaha and you're going to be, you know, someone's going to be like, wait, why do I know that song? Or why does that name sound familiar? Because you also, every show, you have a hell of a lineup. It's not just like one or two acts. Mm-hmm. It's a legitimate show with a bunch of people and a good variety of music.
Yeah, we have seven or eight bands or artists, acts per night, playing three songs a piece. You do that twice a week for 10 years. I mean, we've had almost 5,000 different bands play, like individual acts, not time slots. And in that group, I mean, we're playing the odds at this point. You do it long enough, you're going to have some success. Like, there have been 309, I think, number one songs have been written or recorded by past guests at this point. So, and some of them, it's like you get one artist will have 20, like Chris DiStefano had a bunch in a row and he played a few times, but then it's like you get these little outliers. It's like, hey, congratulations, so and so, you're getting your first number one. And it's crazy to see, because, and I try not to put that on the event. I don't want to put any kind of pressure, like if you go to Whiskey Jam, you're going to see a hit song. That's not what it's about.
No,
same
right.
As if it's like if somebody's going to expect to see somebody famous, they may be let down, but the beauty is what you're talking about, like a few years later going, wow,
yep,
that's crazy. That person who seemed pretty cool at the time has developed. And I think people enjoy watching that success and being a part of the story. Be like, I was there when, you know, it's almost cooler to say, I was at that bar where Garth Brooks used to play in Oklahoma when he was in college, as opposed to I was at the concert at Notre Dame Stadium, you know, like, being a part, you're on the ground floor with these artists. You get to know them, you get to talk to them. I say that a lot at the shows. It's like, listen, if you like any of these people that are up here playing, go talk to them and meet them tonight, shake their hand, because they need this is the most important time for them to get fans. And it's also a great way for you to connect to an artist, not to you can guys be friends and you can go on the road with them, but it's just a cool connection. You know how distant we are from, even with social media and everything, how distant you are from your artist and the people that you admire. And this is a real in-person tactile experience where you are, I think the dive bar element helps it too, because it's like you're almost on stage at some points. If you get too close, you're like, oh, I'm in the band, you know? So really involving everybody.
And also a little pro tip, life hack, old hockey trick. For all these hot chicks that move to Nashville on a daily basis with dreams of locking up a country artist to marry them, they should go to Whiskey Jam on a Monday night, have a couple of beers, and get them before they're famous.
Yep. The I'm not sure if that's...
Good evening, ladies. I love you all.
We've had a couple. We had our first proposal on stage. Country music singer Jay Allen proposed to his country music singer, now fiance, Kylie Morgan. It was in People magazine. My mom was really excited, proud. Her son's name's in the big time.
That's awesome.
It was really cool. Nobody knew it was going to happen, or a handful of people in the room knew it was going to happen, but I was standing next to a stranger, and when it was about to when you could like tell something was going on stage, she's like, Kylie, we've been dating for a while and blah, blah. There was an electricity in the room, and the guy, like total stranger, looks at me. He goes, man, he's about to propose to her. And you could feel it. It was wild. It was truly like a tingle going through the crowd. And man, it's wild. It's like moments like that make it what it is. And yeah, ladies, get out there and find you a J.
Well, and then in a couple of years, maybe they'll get married there, their first baby shower.
Oh, that was the part the next day. He's like, hey, man.
Got their whole life through Whiskey Jam.
Yeah, he was like, hey, man, I really appreciate you helping us out with all that. You're in the family now. I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. I got a little family.
Hopefully their end is a happy one, because otherwise there could be some interesting memes of how it started, how it ended.
Right. Now, wish him the best of luck.
Okay. And then I also want to know, you said, which is a mind blowing stat, that over artists that have played Whiskey Jam have now accounted for 309 number one singles. Mm-hmm. Who counted to come up with that exact number?
Oh, me. I just keep.
Did you really?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's still pretty much myself. Ryan O'Nan is a partner who came on a few years ago, and at this point we deal with a couple people outside, like designers and this and that, but we're running everyday stuff. And so when it comes to that, I'm the only person that knows everybody that's played. Like if you said, what about so-and-so? I'd go, I don't think they played before. Or, oh, yeah, they played that one night. And it's not something that you'd have to, somebody'd have to study 5,000 names at this point to know. Right. Oh, yeah, but we have a spreadsheet. We can cross-reference. And so, yeah, I just kind of started keeping track. When we got a few years in, I was like, man, there's a lot of people having number ones. You know, this is kind of crazy. I'll do a little a yearly by the numbers kind of rundown, and it's awesome, man, to go through. And my favorite thing is that it's always before our anniversary in January. I'll look at the charts and the top 50, see how many jam fam, as we call them, either wrote or either are responsible for writing or recording these songs on the charts. And last year was like 43 out of 50. So you're talking about 40, like well over the majority of the songs on the top 50 radio charts, you could have seen that artist or that writer at a show.
So looking back over the years that you've been doing this, I mean, the engagement probably has to be up there. But, and I know you have a lot of great memories, but is there any one night that like stuck out that like, man, this one was special, or something crazy happened, or like something funny, or just something super memorable?
For sure. We are about to have our 10th anniversary, big celebration. We have a show at the Ryman on the 26th of July. And yeah, we celebrated our 10th anniversary in January, and it was all restricted and you had a small crowd. And I mean, I loved all the bands that played that night, but it just wasn't what it deserved as like a milestone. So we are going to, the Ryman, and I'm racking my brains now, kind of building the show and trying to pick moments like that and say, man, how can we tell this story? Can I recreate any of this stuff? And I'm not saying any of this stuff will or won't happen at the show, but moments like Melissa Etheridge was hanging out with some of her friends in Nashville for a recording at a streaming event. And when they were done, they're like, what should we do? And they said, well, you could go downtown and see like that part of Nashville, but it's Monday night. We should just go to Whiskey Jam. So they reached out and they came, and Melissa Etheridge got up and sang a couple songs, and you have like this room full of cowboys singing Come to My Window. And
I was just going to say, please tell me she sang Come to My Window.
That was incredible. It was like she getting there, and my sound guy is a drummer, and she was like, does anybody play drums? Like, this guy plays drums. He goes, I don't know her. I was like, it's Come to My Window. You are completely, you don't know that you know this song by heart, probably. That was a big one. Peyton Manning was in town, and again, somebody recommended he come by and got in touch, and Lee Bryce and Shay Mooney of Dan and Shay were both at the bar hanging out, and Peyton just, you kind of see he got this little sparkle in his eye. He's like, I want to sing a song, and we're back there talking to him. I was like, when? Let's do it. What do you want to sing? He's like, well, only two songs I know are Johnny Cash and Rocky Top, and I was like, well, I happen to know those songs. And so I was playing guitar, Peyton's singing, and Lee Bryce and Shay Mooney are backing him up. That's pretty unbeatable. I was going out of town the next day, walking through the airport, seeing that clip on the TVs. I was like, that's crazy. Wow. What else? I mean, Ron White came in one night after when we were kind of shutting down. We always say like, hey, don't go home early. Don't leave until it's over kind of thing. You never know what's going to happen. And yeah, Ron White came in at the last act and was like, you mind if I test out my new set? And got up and did a whole 30-minute set. And we had a video guy there that night, one of the few times we've ever done that. And he taped the whole thing. When he got done, Ron White came down. He goes, if I see that on YouTube, I'm going to sue the shit out of you. And come to find out, he was testing out the entire new special that aired on Netflix like the next year. So we watched that when it came out. I was like, that's why we couldn't. He didn't want it leaking. He was just testing his big show. Crazy stuff, man. Like, that's Nashville, and that's the Nashville that I knew long before Whiskey Jam started. That's the one that we grew up on the early 2000s, where Nashville was just starting to attract celebrities, and it was a place where I think the appeal was that you could come as a star and be a person. And
yes,
you don't have to go to a private club, and you don't have to be fancy. You can be amongst the people, and that was a big thing. Some of the mojo of Whiskey Jam, what you talked about earlier, Miranda Lambert coming in, sitting at a table with people, and it wasn't nobody was bugging her. Nobody like felt the need. She was at ease. You had guys like Sam Hunt and the Florida Georgia Line fellas. They'd come and walk around. They never played the show, but it was like I was very proud to have an event that like they felt comfortable going to. Just a local writer's night. And so, yeah, building on that, the fun that we had in those early days in Nashville, the things that you could go and do, I try to keep
and
that.
The Lord above that there was not social media when we were running the streets in the 2000s.
Yeah, what was the one, the spot?
Oh, God. You weren't even allowed to take pictures there, God bless. I mean, I'm so old that I would have taken a picture with a disposable camera, but
right.
You weren't even allowed those in there.
Dude, you need to get one of the bartenders from the spot to come on here and tell stories. They probably had to sign NDAs or something, but...
Well, Tori is one of my best. It's so funny. Tori, if you're listening, Tori Yator, love her to death. She is one of the best actresses and spokespersons with the Block Agency. And I met her bartending at the spot. She was the best. Is the best. And that's so funny. That's like still my connection.
Well, there was those nights where you'd have like Kid Rock playing with Ed Helms playing banjo or something, like just these odd things. And that was, you'd always hear those stories and you'd never see them because it was in that little private bar. You had to thumbprint get in. And so
I was so mad one night. I was supposed to go out and didn't. And apparently Justin Timberlake showed up at the spot that night and then sang a couple songs. And I was like, really, bro? Like, that's the night you decide to stay in?
Oh, gosh.
You know, back in the day, I was drinking 4 or 5 nights a week. So staying in was a big deal. And of course, I picked the wrong night.
The FOMO I don't think we invented it, but Nashville got really good at it in the 2000s.
FOMO?
Yeah.
Well, that's why we all had drinking problems, because something cool happened every night. And
yes.
We were really afraid to miss it.
Yeah. I mean, I never heard that phrase before. But once it came out, I was like, man, that makes perfect sense. Exactly what you're talking about. The nights you stay home. Okay, so full backstory to Whiskey Jam. One of those nights, my rare off bartending, nothing to do. I was going to bed at like 9 o'clock, and Frankie Ballard texted me and said, hey, man, let's go play some music. And if he had said, hey, man, let's go run around downtown and chase girls or whatever, I would have been like, dude, I'm in bed, you know, but I moved to town to play music. And so he said, hey, man, let's go, let's find a bar that'll let us play. And so I said, well, it's either Winners or Tin Roof. Those are the places that I can call somebody and say, hey, give us a bar tab and we'll play music for a few hours. So we went to Tin Roof and did exactly that. Just drank a bunch, played with Frankie and his guitar player and drummer Keo Stroud. And the next day I tweeted, I was like, thanks everybody for coming out to the first ever Whiskey Jam, because we were just like completely beat up from the night before. And Josh Hogue immediately texted me and says, hey, what did you just, that thing you just tweeted, what's Whiskey Jam? And I said, oh, it's just the words that made the most sense in the moment. And he was like, I credit him with a lot of, I mean, what we have built, because it was that initial recognizing that from a marketing standpoint, like, wow, that phrase is intriguing. We should do something. And so that's when we kind of said, let's meet up and make a list and have a little plan for that, the launch night one.
And you now sell whiskey, right?
Yeah, we have a blackberry and a straight whiskey that's made in Charleston, South Carolina, the Firefly Distillery. And it's delicious. It's amazing. It's a incredibly difficult industry to get into, to bust into. I should say you're up against 8-figure marketing budgets. I mean, it's been funny to do. We're finally selling and shipping online now, so hopefully that'll open up a little bit of room.
And where so people who are listening, where can they buy that online and any other merch from Whiskey Jam? Because you guys always have awesome merch.
Yeah, whiskeyjam.com is our main site. You can click a button there that says want to buy Whiskey Jam merch, want to play Whiskey Jam. We have a button for the whiskey at the top too. So whiskeyjam.com.
So you have blackberry flavored whiskey, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then why don't you have whiskey flavored jam?
We get that quite a bit. I don't know. I'm not a big toast guy.
I drink preserves.
I drink way more than I eat toast. So that was personal.
Hey, listen, a good English muffin with some nice jam is honestly a breakfast of champions.
I think we should get into that though at some point. But yeah, the whiskey is an interesting little offshoot, you know. If it wasn't,
which is perfect, a good fit. So yeah. Let me ask you this. So, you know, one of the other things we always like to talk about, and it's just Nashville in general. And I know, you know, Ward now has a lovely wife and a house full of children. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't necessarily run the streets like it's 2006 anymore. So it might not be the same as some of our other guests and their recommendations. But like, where do you like to go? We do family friendly places, like what restaurants, what, you know, I mean, some of the old school stuff, you know, throw out some of the names of your favorite places to still when you and the lady get out for a drink, or also places you'd like to go to bring the kids. Cause hopefully people who are listening are trying to get tips. Cause I know, I'm sure it's same as you, as me, anyone, you know, who has a friend of a friend of a friend who has a bachelorette party or a bachelor party. We get the texts all the time.
Oh yeah.
Hey, where do you recommend in Nashville? Where should we go? And, you know, I like kind of trying to tell people some of the undercover stuff, because it's easy to say, just walk up and down Broadway. That's all you really need, which right. is kind of true. But what are some of your faves?
Man, the first place I had a job in Nashville was Amerigo, the Italian-American yeah. fusion place on West End, which is incredibly just like one of the best and oldest restaurants in town at this point. And we had all four of our kids at the hospital right down the street, and we'd always forego the hospital food and eat Amerigo as much as we possibly could. So it's got a special place in my heart from the first job to the kids, and it's really great food. And I think it's overlooked because it's not the new hip, cool restaurant, you know, like it's got there's stains on the awning out front, whatever, but it's fantastic food. I love Sambuca is another one that was one of the first restaurants in the Gulch that was very progressive for Nashville at the time. I think it's probably kept up. It's probably a little bit more acceptable, normal food at this point, but they were having ostrich fillets. I remember going there and you'd have this stuff,
yes. like
crazy items that you couldn't get anywhere else. And they had fantastic world-class music and sound as like a dinner club, like a theater. And
it was like the place where like everybody who had to have like an upscale bougie cocktail party
yes.
would have it. Like every other Nashville Lifestyles event was at Sambuca. Every, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was the number one parties. It was like, it was before, you're right. It was before its time for Nashville.
I guess my favorite places and the ones that I kind of always go back to are those old school ones. You know, some of the new stuff that's around, what have we tried recently? I love where the barbecue's at in Nashville now. A lot of people come to town. Growing up in Memphis, barbecue is everything. I lived down the street like a mile from the original Corky's before it went global, shipping FedEx. Like, it was this perfect barbecue storm in Memphis. So you grow up with that, it's like anywhere you'd go on tour or whatever, it was like you just kind of let down because it was not world-class barbecue. Get to Nashville in the last 10 years, and it's become a hub for so many people to come from all over the globe, and they're making some of the best kind of hybrid barbecue I've ever had. You know, Peg Leg Pete's, Martin's, Edley's.
What's your favorite barbecue in Nashville?
We always go back to Peg Leg Pete's.
I know Peg Leg Porker.
Peg Leg Porker, sorry. Peg Leg Pizza in Pensacola. Yeah.
That's my go-to. Peg Leg Porker by far is my favorite of all of them. I mean, Eloise is great. Martin's is good. They're all good. And now we have like Central Barbecue all over the place. There's like three of them.
Right.
And but yeah, I'm 100%. You tell me I can only go to one, it's Peg Leg.
Peg Leg. Smoked wings there are pretty much off the charts. Yeah.
I just love the atmosphere. It feels like it's locally owned. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. It feels very Nashville. It feels very home.
It reminds me a little bit of Winter's where we do Whiskey Jam because it's where it was initially. It's had to expand and grow to keep up with the demand and the crowds that are coming in. But the soul is still just like the old school incandescent lit menu board, and it's a cinder block building, and it's nothing fancy, but focus on the food. Yeah.
And then when you're done with that, you can walk around the corner and go have a meet and three at Arnold's,
right,
which is another old school Nashville staple. For those of you that don't know a meet and three, I'll never forget when I first moved to Nashville, I was as Yankee as they come when I moved down there. So people were like, what's Nashville known for? They're like, meet and three. I'm like, what the hell is a meet and three? Meet and three. And he said so fast, it's like a meat and three, which is basically a meat and three side dishes.
Yeah.
So you go to this place like Arnold's, and every day the menu rotates. It might be chicken the one day, it might be pulled pork, and then sides. And I don't care what meat and three you go to, you always got to get the mac and cheese.
Mac and cheese, green beans, cornbread. What else would I get? They had fried fish day, I think, on Tuesdays at Arnold's. And we'd go up there. And they had a bread pudding that was truly incredible. It was, that place, yeah. Man, I hadn't been there in way too long. The little family that ran it was so incredible. The boy whose picture was on the wall as a little boy was a 20-something-year-old kid at that point, and he remembered everybody. It just had like a photographic kind of memory, and you want that in your home cooking. You know, you want to feel like you're a part of the family.
Yeah, and the one thing is, if you're coming to Nashville on a trip, get off the diet the day before and start it the day after, because...
Oh, right, like I did in 2003. I was like, you know what, we're in Nashville, let's just get off the diet. Still clinging to that 18 years later.
I mean, we do now have some kale places and some juice bars and that stuff, but if you're coming to Nashville and you've never been there, you can get your, you know, cold-pressed drink back home. You got to get some barbecue, you got to get some mac and cheese, and you got to get some Southern fried cooking.
Dude, I got to give a huge shout out to that Fifth and Broad development you're talking about, which is downtown on Fifth and Broadway, as it makes sense. That we went there for lunch today. We'd looked at it before, but like never been in. And it's all these, instead of having to go all over Nashville and try all these different foods that you see on the TV shows and you hear about and you want to come and visit, you just go there. And there's pharmacy.
Yeah, they have the food hall.
Dude, and there's like pharmacy burgers right next to Prince's Hot Chicken and Desano's Pizza. It's like, dude, it's like so many it's a genius concept. Like, hey, do you want to be included in this place? And that's what I was saying. It was as busy as an airport, but with no planes. And it's kind of bizarre to see that, knowing that what used to be down there. But yeah, that's a great recommendation for anybody coming that wants to see a lot at once.
What was there?
The convention center, I guess.
That's right. And my original office was on top of the Renaissance Hotel.
Yeah.
Which was attached to the convention center, which is now, well, the Renaissance is still there, but you're right. Now it's Fifth and Broadway. That's the crazy thing about Nashville. You drive around, and I'm sorry, the office phone's ringing and I just don't know how to stop it. you drive around and there's all these new office buildings. There's all these new condos. There's all these new hotels. And for the life of me, I can never remember what was there before. Like the Gulch, when we first got to Nashville, was train tracks and it had City Hall. Remember that City Hall that's now
Urban Outfitters? Office? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's back in the day.
City Hall, like the city, it was a bar club called City Hall.
So the Gulch, for anybody listening, is now what you're talking about, the Thompson Hotel. The W Hotel is going up. It's the some of the finest dining and some of the most expensive lodging and living in town. And there's a little stone building in the middle of it called the Station Inn. It's a home of bluegrass music. Crazy. Like, it's truly the home of where bluegrass music was born. It's the only bluegrass venue in the world. Something crazy. My barber
Yeah.
My,
it's famous.
My barber plays bluegrass and has for 30-something years in town, and he tells stories about it. He's like, it's just crazy because the owner of that place used to have to sit out on the roof of the Station Inn with a shotgun because it was such a bad neighborhood. You'd come down there and park anywhere around the bar to go inside, and you leave your car. He'd sit up there with the shotgun, and if anybody came and started looking in windows, he'd just cock it. That was the reality of the old Gulch. And now the property taxes, I don't know how you could even pay the property tax with the potential revenue of the Station Inn selling hot dogs right. and beer.
Yeah. Hopefully they like,
they got to preserve that
like a landmark or something. So it can't be
turned Hall of
down
Fame needs to buy it. I don't know if they will or whatever, but the owner died.
That's a good idea. Someone needs to. Well, dude, I thank you for your time. Thank you for coming in. This was fun catching up. And
oh, yeah.
I'm glad we finally got some music on. And I love talking about Whiskey Jam because I'm a big fan of it. I like to go. I like to see it. I love, you know, the Chicago connection with it and everything. And it was great having you on to kind of shed some insight into, you know, the Nashville music scene.
Yeah, man. I hope people, if anybody's visiting Mondays and Thursdays at Winners in Midtown Nashville, whiskeyjam.com, everything's on our Instagram. That's really our main social media. And yeah, we'd love to show you a show or sell you some merch or whiskey.
Awesome. Thanks again, Ward.
Hell yeah, man. Good talking to you.
All right, later, guys. Peace out.
See ya.